You're tuned to Christian Radio's fresh and insightful voice. This is the Janet Mefford Show. Janet wants to hear what's on your mind, and she's waiting for your call. Toll free at 800-343-9282. That's 800-343-9282. Or online at janetmefford.com. Once again, here is Janet Mefford.
It is 34 past the hour. Thank you for joining us. As Christians, we know that the Lord Himself is the foundation of our lives and also our interactions with each other. But oftentimes we hear secular sociologists commenting and analyzing human beings, and it's apart from the understanding that we are sinners and that our relationships are reflective of a triune God. And this, of course, is not the biblical way to talk about these things. And it's also why we need to recapture a biblically informed approach to the world and to our relationships. This is all covered in a great new book by Dr. Vern Sheridan Poitras. He is professor of New Testament interpretation at Westminster Theological Seminary. And his new book is called Redeeming Sociology, A God-Centered Approach. And I love that title. Dr. Poitras, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, when we use the term sociology, what do you think is the best working definition for that word, just as to start out?
Well, that's a good question, because it's an amorphous field, but it's a study of human relationships, but it tends to be many times a study of social structures rather than individuals. There's a branch of sociology, empathetic sociology, that is more interested in the individual, but it's a complex area because there are many ways that modern sociologists deal with their field. But it boils down to looking at human relationships. Some of them try to do it in a scientific manner,
right.
But the question is, how far can you imitate the natural sciences without leaving things out?
Well, that's a very good point. And we see a lot of sociologists quoted in stories and putting forth studies and talking about how we interact and so forth. But you mentioned that apart from, you know, looking at the fact that we are fallen, we're depraved, and the fact that there is the nature of God involved, you really don't get the whole picture. Do you tend to see the worldview of most sociologists as lacking those components?
I think so. I think it's well that you say most sociologists, because I know of some Christian sociologists who try to bring their Christian faith to bear, but they are a tiny minority.
Mm.
Most sociologists, personal relationships, it's all about human relationships, and God is simply out of the picture. Well, I think God is the most important person that we relate to, simply in terms of the area of how do you think of personal relationships? But then in addition, as the sovereign Lord, He controls the whole area of human relationships,
right,
both in terms of sovereignty and in terms of His moral standards.
Oh, no doubt about it. Do you think that there's a particular reason why the worldviews of sociologists, not most, most sociologists, have gone so far off course and left these elements out of their work?
Well, it was there even in the foundation of sociology. The name was invented by Auguste Comte in the 19th century, and he wanted to move beyond. He was very explicit about the fact that he wanted to move beyond a theological understanding of man and history.
Hmm.
So even in the foundations, there was this thing of we want to get away from any kind of theological influence.
Wow. So man would be at the center of the study then rather than God.
Yes.
Right. Well, and we've seen this in other fields, too, haven't we? This seems to be sort of the normal way, you know, in psychology and psychiatry and sociology, some of these fields, we see a very man-centered culture that seems to be the norm.
I think so. Westminster Seminary, where I teach, is associated with a counseling center, and they're dealing all the time with the difference between counseling that takes into account human sin and takes into account the Bible's own teachings about human nature, and kind of secular psychology that systematically ignores it.
Right. Well, and it makes a big difference, as you mentioned before, those who have a biblical worldview and see God, you know, as the foundation of all that we do and all that we are, have a very different outlook than those who are secular in their mindset and are you know, again, taking the man-centered approach to the entire escapade. We're going to talk about this a little bit more after the break. My guest is Dr. Vern Sheridan Poitras. The name of the book we're discussing is Redeeming Sociology, A God-Centered Approach. When we come back, I want to talk to Dr. Poitras about these really two vital elements of discussing theology from a biblical worldview. I should say sociology, the nature of God and the depravity of mankind. We're going to talk about why those two things are so important in redeeming sociology. We're coming back right after this on the Janet Mefford Show. Stay right there. Past the hour. This is the Janet Mefford Show. We're talking about Redeeming Sociology, A God-Centered Approach. It's the new book from Dr. Vern Sheridan Poitras, who is professor of New Testament Interpretation at Westminster Theological Seminary. I think this is a really important question. And Dr. Poitras, when we talk about redeeming sociology, why do you think it needs to be redeemed? What are the elements of sociology right now that are lacking?
Well, there are two main ones. One is that God is left out of the reckoning, and the other is that sin is left out. But that tends to distort the whole field, because this study of human relationships is a study of an area that God has ordained, that he has given to us, and that we ought to be praising him for. So the whole atmosphere is wrong, even when the facts are right. You know, they can get individual facts right, but the framework through which you're looking at the facts is distorted.
Well, for sure. So how do relationships reflect God, as you talk about in this book, and in particular, the Trinitarian nature of God?
Right. Well, we know from the Bible that God is one God in three persons, and the three persons have personal relationships to one another. The Father loves the Son, and the Son carries out the commands of the Father, and you can see this kind of language in the New Testament. Those relationships are the ultimate. They're eternal personal relationships. They're the ultimate relationships, and they give significance to the fact that we are, as human beings, can have relationships. So it's important that we praise God and understand that, that there's weight in our relationships because of who he made us and how he made us to reflect some of the aspects in his own being. Though we're still creatures, we nevertheless we reveal the very nature of God by the fact that we're made in his image.
Yeah, you're right. Now, when we look at the Trinity, that is such an important point. We see how the persons of the Trinity interact, Father and the Son and the Spirit, and so forth, the Father and the Spirit. What can we learn about personal relationships by looking at the Trinity?
Well, let's see. There's partly that there is planning, that there is execution, that there is a purpose, and that all those things reflect God, and that he has made us so that we are able to relate to other people in that way. And also, I take a simple case where one woman is giving a birthday gift to another who's her friend, and that both have to understand the complete transaction, even though they play different roles. So one is the giver, and the giver has to say, understand, I'm giving this away permanently, not just to borrow it. And the one has to understand this is a gift, so I'm not expected to pay for it. Well, those relationships involve that understanding and mutuality that reflects the understanding on the God's level, the divine level, of the mutual roles of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. So even in a very simple kind of human relationship, we're reflecting the mutuality that exists in God. And that's significant because it should give us a sense of the value and significance of human relationships that is far beyond what you get from, say, a materialistic evolutionary point of view, where we're just the product of time and chance.
That's a great point. And you know something? I don't think that we talk nearly enough in the church today about the interplay between the members of the Trinity, the persons of the Trinity. I love that you're even talking in this language because it's so weighty and it's so significant, and yet it's so biblical.
Yes, it is. And I think particularly because a materialistic worldview is pressing in us, and we have people who are saying we're really no better than monkeys or naked apes,
right.
That reminding ourselves of the fact matter was created, personality is more ultimate than matter, and personality in God. Of course, we are creatures, but the center of us is not really matter. The center of us has to do with our ability to relate to one another and, above all, to relate to God. And that's very, very different than the view that's, you know, coming in, the pressures from the world that tends to think from the bottom up, matter and everything else is built up out of that.
Oh, very true. And so sin, the other element of all this, how sin plays into the equation, how does that work out in the course of redeeming sociology, the fact that we are depraved?
Well, it means that there's things wrong with human nature. We're not as we were made to be. We're made good, and we've rebelled against that. You need that in order to evaluate human societies.
Right.
And you need God's standards to evaluate what's good and what's bad in human societies. There's a stream of sociology that wants to be neutral and just describe without evaluating. But it's very, very hard to cut out the fact that we as human beings, we're constantly evaluating. And some of the more distressing things that we hear about, you know, we hear about famine and human disasters, and now lately the tsunami in Japan and right. the earthquakes and all the disaster. Well, your heart naturally goes out to that, but why? You know, if we're made in the image of God, we've got an explanation, because our instincts are to evaluate things morally and to say this is bad and this is good. If we are just the products of molecules in motion, then what does it matter? Hmm. So it's important that we have a sense that there is moral standards, and also that we understand how we have a standard for saying what's right and wrong with society. Because everybody instinctively knows that there are things wrong when they see injustices, when they see people starving, and so on. But sociology, the mainstream, tends to deal with this without a sense of saying sin is at the bottom, sin and its effects.
Right.
Obviously, we're not saying that people are always suffering for their individual sins, but there's a long history of the effects of sin, and the fact the whole world is out of joint is kind of now a reminder of the fact we are not what we were made to be.
Oh, yes.
And that makes a huge difference in how you go about dealing with, are we going to try to change social relationships? Are we going to try to change social institutions?
Yes, very important points. Dr. Vern Sheridan Poitras is my guest. We're talking about his book, Redeeming Sociology, A God-Centered Approach. There's more to come, and we'll be back right after this. Minutes before the hour. This is the Janet Mefford Show. Welcome back. It's impossible in the last few minutes that we have to summarize all the good information and analysis in this book, Redeeming Sociology, A God-Centered Approach, but it really is a terrific book. Dr. Vern Sheridan Poitras is our guest and the author of this book. Just to kind of wind it up, and as I said before, Dr. Poitras, this is just terrific, and I wish we had more time, but what do you think we ought to understand about culture in light of some of these things you've talked about, the nature of God in our sin?
Well, that culture shows the effects of sin, that it's ordained by God, that it isn't just there because, or it's not just created human by human beings on their own. And also, we haven't talked about this, but the obvious thing to say is if the fundamental problem is sin, the fundamental answer is God redeeming us through Christ.
Right.
Now, that takes place in individuals, but as individuals are changed, then their relationships are changed, and that can have a blessing for society as a whole. And that includes all kinds of areas. It includes business, includes politics, includes marriage. And all those areas are areas which sociologists study professionally, but they tend to studying them in, as it were, only a few dimensions if they're doing statistical analysis without getting to what I believe is the deepest root of the problems, namely human rebellion against God and the remedy in Christ. And if the remedy is not that, and if the problem is not that, then you get, in effect, alternative views of salvation, that we save ourselves by some kind of social transformation. Now, Marxism, that didn't believe in God, was all about, and communism was all about, if we can sufficiently transform the government and the structures of economics, then we will save ourselves.
Right.
And of course, the results were disastrous.
Right.
Even though the motives, I believe, you know, many of these people were sincere and they thought that they were doing humanity good.
You're right. And we also fall into that trap, I think, a little bit as Americans. We think if we just change the law, then we'll be able to change the culture. But what you're really getting at, and I think you're right about this, is the changed lives of people who come to Christ are those who end up transforming the culture. And that would be reflected in the laws and in the structure. You can't really do a top-down thing.
Right. I mean, I believe that laws can make a difference, but they're not at the very bottom. The very bottom is the human heart and, you know, our relationship to God.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I really enjoyed this book, Redeeming Sociology, A God-Centered Approach. Dr. Vern Sheridan Poitras is the author. And it's just really an honor to talk to you, Dr. Poitras. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and the Lord be with you.
You too. Thanks a lot. This is the Janet Mefford Show, and you can find us over at janetmefford.com. Please do. We'll see you over at Facebook and Twitter as well. We love to hear from you, so keep those emails coming. You can also check out our podcasts, and I hope you will. We get an awful lot of people asking about that. If you want to hear previous interviews we've done, previous shows, it is all there at janetmefford.com. God bless.